Welcome back into the show. It's the whole show here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Well, Mike Shanahan didn't get in. Dan Reeves didn't get in. They didn't make the Hall of Fame finalists, despite a really good resume. Both of them have great resumes. I mean, you could argue which one should get in over the other if you wanted to go there. Reeves never won a Super Bowl, though. But he's been to a few of them. Shanny's got the two. But Reeves has, like, the longevity of going to the playoffs. But Shanny, you know, like we said, 97, 98, you got two Super Bowls there. But they're not getting in. Angel, what do you think? Would you put him in? You're not as strict of on the Hall of Fame as I am. Maybe you are. I don't know.
No.
Or have I changed you?
It's contextualized for each individual inductee. Player for coach. I look at the impact that you had as a coach in your, you know, number of teams and the story of the league. Can you tell the story of the NFL with these coaches? I would put Kyle Shanahan, or not Kyle. Is it Kyle?
Mike.
Mike Shanahan.
Kyle's San Fran.
Kyle's the young guy.
Yeah, he's the young guy.
Mike Shanahan would be in the Hall of Fame. Mr. Shanahan.
Would you go Dan Reeves, too? I have his resume up here. You don't know who Dan Reeves is. It's okay. Sorry, that's where I can educate you.
I don't know.
Dan Reeves was the Broncos head coach from, what, 80-something, early 80s, all the way to, like, 92. And they went to a lot of playoffs. I think they made it. They lost the divisional game or championship game. They did lose in the Super Bowl in 1989. They lost to San Francisco. They lost to the Washington Redskins at that point to the Super Bowl in the Super Bowl in 87, lost to the Giants. It's like he went to three Super Bowls in 4 years, Angel. I mean, that is, Broncos were very much like a Buffalo Bills. That Bills team that we saw go to four Super Bowls in a row and lose, the Broncos weren't far from that. They went three out of the 4 years and lost them all three.
No, eventually you did win some.
Did Dan?
Or the Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos finally did. He went to a Super Bowl against his old team in the with the Broncos in 98. He was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons at that time. I mean, the guy went to four Super Bowls, but he didn't win one. But he went to four. Is he a Hall of Famer? Is that a big enough resume? Now, he was in, obviously, Shanny was in two Super Bowls. Won them both. But Dan Reeves, four. And a lot of times he would lose in the AFC championship game. He lost in the AFC championship game in 91. He lost in the NFC divisional game.
As a Broncos coach, yes. As an NFL coach, no. Because he only had three winning seasons after he left Denver. It was in 93, 98, and 2002.
Yeah.
As an overall coach, I would have to look at his last two stops, and that would not pass.
Shanny was pretty bad with Washington, though.
Shanny's got Super Bowls.
That's true. Those go a long way. Smitty says, I don't understand why folks don't see Mike Shanahan as a Hall of Fame coach. Built a roster which had two Super Bowl wins, developed an offense which is still in use today. Jimmy Johnson is a Hall of Famer with two Super Bowls with a similar resume. Bill Cowher won one Super Bowl and was never considered to be an architect. Okay. So here's my thing. You're right on that. If Jimmy Johnson is in and Bill Cowher is in, Mike Shanahan should be in. You're right. My Hall of Fame does not have any of those guys in. I'm not going to reward a couple of Super Bowls and then not great after that. Andy Reid's a Hall of Famer. He's won two Super Bowls. He went to another one with Philly, maybe two. He went to four Super Bowls. He's been to four Super Bowls, dude. He won two of them, but he's always in the playoffs. That's the other thing that I look at. Bill Belichick, obviously, for obvious reasons. But I'm just saying, there's not, in my mind, there's not a lot of Hall of Fame. We're talking Hall of Fame. Say the word out loud in your car. Everybody say it together. Scream it. Hall of Fame. That means you are the best. Is Mike Shanahan the best coach that ever existed? Is he one of them? And I'm saying, when we use this term loosely, one of them. I'm not saying one of 100, or one of 20, or one of 10. One of four or five, man. But Brady, then you're only going to ever have five quarterbacks and coaches in the Hall of Fame. Not when a great one comes along. When it's just Patrick Mahomes is so great right now, he will be a Hall of Famer. So he's going to be listed. Yes, that one of is going to grow. But we've just keep putting all of these guys in because they're really freaking good, but they're not the GOATs. And that's always been my argument with the Hall of Fame. It's not like I'm not arguing that he deserves to be in or doesn't deserve to be in over Jimmy Johnson or Bill Cowher. He deserves to be in the NFL Hall of Fame based on the way they put people in the Hall of Fame. It's too late, you know? It's too late for the NFL to go back and start being strict. Although it sounds like maybe they are, if Dan Reeves and Shanny aren't getting in. But I just think that the Hall of Fame, man, is so watered down. It's a marketing gimmick, and I don't know why you wouldn't want Shanahan in. Or Dan Reeves. Two big names in the NFL. And, you know, Angel, I know you've said that before, and other people have thrown it around. You know, can you tell the story of the NFL without that guy? And I have a problem with that, too, because should Tim Tebow be a Hall of Famer? That's a story.
No, but I mean the story of the NFL, not a fun side story that happened in the NFL, but the story of the NFL. When you line down the list of, you know, 100 years from now, we're doing our top 100 NFL coaches, is Shanahan in that top 20, top 30?
Well, maybe. You could maybe say he's in the top 20 or 30. But, I mean, is that what we're doing in the Hall of Fame now? Is like,
you recognize greatness.
I mean, eventually it's going to turn into, even in my mind, I'm going to have 20 quarterbacks someday in there and 20 head coaches in there someday. I get it. Just the amount of time. We're going to see great players. But we keep putting guys that are just really, really good. And you've heard that term thrown around, the hall of really good. That's what it has become. I mean, guys that are just winning a couple of Super Bowls. And I do think that there's something to say for the times they played, too. Or when they coached and the era they coached and part of the upbringing of the NFL. I get that that gives you a little more credence. Guys that helped build the NFL, like literally helped build the NFL. I have more of a soft spot for those guys to get in. Obviously like a Vince Lombardi and what he was able to do. I mean, you're going to say, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. But I'm strict on this, man. I don't have these stats up in front of me, but like some of these guys that won a lot of Super Bowls. Angel, how many Super Bowls did Chuck Knoll win? Like Chuck Knoll is a Hall of Famer. He won four Super Bowls. Thank you. Was that? Oh, that was the Steel Curtain years, right? Bradshaw. Yeah, four Super Bowls? Okay, I'll shut up. Four Super Bowls, you're in. Three Super Bowls? Yeah. Two? It's almost like two is good. Two is good, but a lot of coaches win two Super Bowls. It happens. So I'm sorry, I'm a little strict on this stuff. But you'd put him in, and I get it. Judging by the criteria, you got to put, he would fit. And it is silly that he's not, based on the NFL and what they've done with coaches and players over the years. But I'm just looking. I do think three for me, for some reason, is like a magical number, Angel. Winning three Super Bowls. Bill Belichick has won, what is it, six? Chuck Knoll, four. Yes. Bill Walsh, three?
I think three is great, but if the rate at which you're getting three Super Bowls is harder than getting just two, then like, yeah, two should be the standard. Like, winning one is awesome. It gets you in the conversation. Two, you're in there. Three, you are exceeding the expectation.
Yeah, and it is rare. I mean, only 13 coaches have won multiple Super Bowls. Should I back down on my Shanahan not getting in the Hall of Fame thing? I'm saying two is not enough for me even. Andy Reid gets it because I'm piecing a few things together here. He's been to four Super Bowls. And he's in the playoffs all the time. Dude, how many NFC championships was Andy Reid in when he was with the Eagles? They were always in the playoffs. And the Chiefs, of course, haven't missed a step since he took over. Look at this, dude. From 2000 to when was he done with Philly to 2012, he had 5 seasons out of 13 seasons that he missed the playoffs. 5 of them. He lost in an NFC Championship game in 2001. He lost in the NFC Championship game in 2002. He lost in the NFC Championship game in 2003. And then they went to the Super Bowl. That is 4 NFC Championship games in a row. They were the second best team in the NFC 3 years in a row. And then the second best team in the NFL. They lost to the Patriots in 2004. That right there is a great resume. Then they didn't go to the playoffs. Then they bounced back. They were in the NFC Championship again in 2008. So he went to a lot of divisional championship games. And then with Kansas City, he has missed the playoffs once. At 9-7 was the year that they missed the playoffs in 2014. 9-7. That is a hall to me, dude. That is a Hall of Fame resume right there. I'm putting that down. What Mike Shanahan did, what I just read to you, look at Andy Reid's resume. Here's what Mike Shanahan did, and let's just count his first Broncos years, 95 to 2008. What is that? 13 years. Just about like what we saw with Andy Reid. 13 years. And we said he missed the playoffs 5 times in 13 years. Okay? He missed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So two more years. But the thing is, in 96, they lost in the second round because they had the bye. They won their 2 Super Bowls. After that, after the mid-90s, which is where when Shanny was hired and all that stuff, he didn't do a whole lot, Angel. He wasn't in AFC championship games left and right. Andy Reid had a span where he was in 4 NFC championship games in a row. After the 2 Super Bowls, they were 6-10. Then the next year was the Brian Griese year. They were 11-5, and they lost to the Ravens in the wild card game. They missed the playoffs 2 years in a row after that. And then they went to the playoffs, got blown out by the Colts. The very next year, they went to the playoffs and got blown out by the Colts. And then they were good. They were 13-3, 2005, they were good. Jake Plummer year. After that, 3 years in a row of missing the playoffs. And then he goes to Washington. What did he do in Washington? 24-40 at Washington. They made the playoffs once. That was the 10-6 year when they had the rookie of the year. And many can argue that Mike Shanahan ruined Robert Griffin III's career by letting him or pushing him out to play in that playoff game that he shouldn't have been playing in. And he was never the same after that. I've heard stories.
Did that decision go into a Hall of Fame consideration?
I don't know. Did you arguably end a potential great quarterback's career?
Arguably. I mean, RG3 still had plenty of opportunities after that.
Yeah, but he never was right. That injury was just so bad, and then he jacked it up more by playing on it, and he just never got right again.
That's football.
True. But I've heard stories. Oh, I've heard stories. That Shanny, there's players that would be like, dude, I can't go in, my leg, my knee. And pulled the mic away from his headset. I don't care, man. You got to get in there. We all know the story of Terrell Davis. Couldn't see in the Super Bowl. Had such a bad migraine that he literally could not see. And he's still playing. Today's NFL would not allow that. Now, listen, I'm not knocking that. That is a Broncos moment that will live on forever. Smitty says, you can't write the history of the NFL without telling the Shanahan story, especially considering his coaching tree. But that's what I'm saying. I don't care about that stuff. What did you do on the field? I don't care about your history, your writing of the history. I don't care about your coaching tree. I just don't. I care about the teams that you coached to win. If Peyton Manning influenced anybody, should Peyton Manning get more clout than just as a player? I mean, oh, this guy should be in the Hall of Fame because he made this wide receiver really good. No. I don't care about your coaching tree. We always talk about coaching tree. Yeah, great. Great coaches are typically good leaders. That's why they're coaches. That's what they're doing. And it is a good, it's a good old boy system too. You see the same exact people just circulating throughout the NFL. So I don't care about your coaching tree, and I don't really care about you saying, can you write the history? Did you win games? And did you win big games? And did you win Super Bowls? And did you do it more often than not? And that is coaches and, I get it, coaches and quarterbacks get the Super Bowl thing tied to them more than anybody else, unfair or not. Running backs and such, Barry Sanders is a Hall of Famer. He didn't win Super Bowls, right? I think he went to the playoffs once. That's different. It's just different. You guys know it is. His numbers that he put on the field as a running back. It's different with a quarterback, and it's different with a coach. Because that is, the coach is judged basic on wins and losses. They can't, Angel, they can't be judged on, do you care if Mike McDaniel is 6-11 this year, but their offense, strangely enough, was the fifth best offense in the league, and they did it for 8 years in a row, but they were not a playoff team? Would that matter to you? Is that a stat that you would go, yeah, but he was so good at offense, but they couldn't get into the playoffs? Would that matter?
It matters in the conversation of what you're, you know, the what qualifies this coach or a player, but ultimately it wouldn't get you there.
Right. He is just, I mean, again, coaches are, you're going to judge him on wins and losses. Barry Sanders, though, just like that, you could say, well, he ran for 2,000 yards and he's like one of the best. He did this. He had, I don't know how many yards he had in his career, but he had a lot. But he didn't win Super Bowls. Well, it's different. He's a running back. That's what he's doing. He's running. Coaches are judged off of wins and losses. And I'm just saying that I get it. I love Mike Shanahan, dude. He was my guy. I grew up watching Mike Shanahan. My parents, my family hates me for this argument. But I've got to be realistic here. I can't just put people in that I like. Mike Shanahan was very good for three seasons. Tell me I'm wrong. I mean, when I go back and I look at Andy Reid, who coached a long time with Philadelphia, did some great things there. They were one of the best teams in the NFC on a regular basis. And then Kansas City has been the most dominant team in the NFL almost from the time he arrived. Why are we... Would you... Okay, let me do this. Do you agree with me that Andy Reid has a way better resume than Mike Shanahan to go in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
So then why do we want to put two guys that one guy has a way better resume in and we put another guy in that's way down the line from him, but we want to put him in the same hall? We want to recognize him as the same kind of coach.
I don't think that's what it does.
That's what it does.
Recognizing the greatness in that individual, not comparing them to other people.
But that's how the hall should be.
Well, that's not what it was set up to be. When we're set up to celebrate all of the individual greatness things.
It's not supposed
to
be.
This one was greater than this one, and that one's greater than that one, and this is the
greatest sports
thing of ever in football.
Isn't that what sports is all about?
Yes,
it's about winning.
It's so vast and broad that we can have different athletes and different coaches that can all do different things at different times that are considered great.
Yeah, but did you win a lot? You know, did you win a lot?
That's a factor, and that's an important factor, but there are other things that go into the consideration of it.
I think that the Hall of Fame is a marketing grab now. It's just get as many, although it the argument kind of goes out the window this year, because if it's a marketing grab, Dan Reeves and Mike Shanahan should be in. But for the most part, it is. We got our five in every year, and they're going to do their thing and do their speeches, and we get the Hall of Fame game and all of that. It's just, I look at it and I say, man, you need to have Andy Reid and Bill Belichick are up here. Shanahan's somewhere in the middle with great coaches, but not in that same level. And I do think the Hall of Fame should be strict. And I get what you're saying. Like, the Hall of Fame just honors great players. But I would like to see the Hall of Fame just honor the Hall of Famers. Just the best to ever do it. And you can't say eight coaches were the best to ever do it. You got to whittle that down. 25 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, Brett McMurphy's tweet about the demise of the Pac-12 Could it have been saved? Let's get into more of that on the other side. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Fiesta Thursday is going on at Cable's Pub and Grill. Smothered burritos for just $10.99 and house margaritas for $4. That's Cable's Pub and Grill, where my friends meet. Angel, do you like to eat?
Occasionally.
Yeah, people think it's a weird question, but athletes and bodybuilders and stuff, they eat because it's like it's fuel. They just have to eat a certain amount of food, and they don't really enjoy it.
I mean, the process of eating food, yeah, it's fine.
Joey Bosa.
I eat when I'm hungry.
Joey Bosa says he's not enjoying eating anymore.
No. If you're eating for just calories and carbs,
4,500 to 5,000 calories a day.
It sucks.
He says it takes a lot of food to keep on weight, so eating just feels like part of the job. Well, he doesn't get to eat like ketchup and stuff and good food. It's just chicken,
rice, and broccoli.
Yeah.
And 55 pounds of it every day.
It's not like good. There's no salt going on that.
No, there's no flavor to it. It's like you're forcing your body to eat this food because you know it needs the calories and it needs all the nutrients and stuff. But it's like it's almost like a workout. Like training your body to eat that much food per day is intense.
Have you ever had to do that?
I tried it. I've tried it a number of times where I try to hit a certain calorie intake per day to maintain a certain weight or to put on weight before I work out. And it's tough. Mm. It's like the most challenging part is forcing myself to eat that much food.
Well, not good food either. I try to make it good,
but it's still like, God, I can only eat scrambled eggs every day for so long.
Yeah, but like, I don't know how many calories I take, but you tell me I can do McDonald's burgers, man. I could put the calories away pretty quickly. But just calories of this dry food that's not really delicious, that's just tough.
All that, and then you...
Every
blend
day.
Blend up a smoothie with 15 different protein powders in it.
Mm.
You got to slam that down and then go practice in the hot sun for 3 hours.
Man.
And you got to eat all of it again because you just expelled all of it on the field in sweat.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't.
I like to eat, but...
I love to eat.
I force myself to eat.
But that, yeah, like, I was blown away by that number, that stat. He said, eating isn't enjoyable these days. Yeah, why would it be?
You don't realize how much, like, even 3,000 calories is a lot of food.
I'm just looking, like, what is a McDonald's Big Mac, as far as calories go?
563.
So you'd have to eat just Big Macs. Again, it's good food. Tastes good anyway. You'd have to eat, like, what? Six of those a day? No, he's at
just
five.
About eight.
Eight of them a day. Do you think you could eat eight Big Macs a day?
No.
And even though that's tasty.
I could
like,
maybe do two in a day, and then you have to space them out like lunch and then like a late dinner.
Yeah, like I like Big Macs. I could not do eight a day. And that's a food that I like.
No.
Imagine doing it with something that doesn't have a really delicious taste.
30 chicken nuggets. I could probably do that.
Yeah, it depends on the sauce.
I mean, you just put a big bucket of chicken nuggets in front of me, like, all right, I could eat that.
I need some kind of sauce, though.
Yeah.
I could eat, the smothered burritos at Cable's. I could eat two of those a day. Those are ridiculous. They're so good. But I don't know. That's a lot, man. I see, like, these bodybuilders all the time, too, and they're like, this is part of the job, and it's just you get up at this time, and you eat, you go work out, you come back, you eat again, and it's not like good food. It's just kind of dry chicken and rice and broccoli. Mm-hmm. No salt, nothing fun, and water.
It up and throw brown rice in there.
Yeah, you could.
If you're trying to lean up a little bit.
But it's always chicken.
Always chicken. It's the best source of protein.
It's got to be
chicken.
I don't
know why red meat is like bad or something. Like, I love red meat.
Oh, I love red meat.
I like chicken too, but like chicken.
Making me hungry just talking about this, Angel.
Well, where can we go get food, Brady?
We could go to Cable's. We could make our way over there, Angel.
What do they got today?
Smothered burritos. Yeah.
Fiesta Thursdays.
It is Thursday, right? Yeah.
I think so. My week has been weird.
Well, yeah. It was weird yesterday, and it was weird today.
and tomorrow will kind of maybe be normal.
No, Tanner went golfing.
It's supposed to be normal, but it won't feel like it because it's not a full week of leading up to Friday.
We got a Football Friday, another preseason episode of Football Friday coming up tomorrow, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza.
Dress rehearsal.
It's a dress rehearsal. Next week's the real deal, right?
Yes. We do have college football on next weekend.
Do we? Is that the Hawaii and Vanderbilt start us off?
Notre Dame Navy.
Ooh, yeah.
That'll be a big game.
Very excited for football season.
12:30 kickoff on that one.
Yeah. Very pumped.
And then we'll have some of that following Thursday, and then week one football. Get a week of college, and then the NFL.
It's going to be wild, isn't it? It's going to be absolutely wild. I can't wait. I'm kind of ready to just talk about games rather than teams moving around from different conferences.
Feels like we're just like, the closer we get, the further it is.
Yeah.
It's just like we're so close.
Well, yeah, it feels like the Broncos have been in the preseason forever, and they've just played one game.
What, 2 weeks away from UNC football getting going?
UNC winning that first game?
Oh, yeah. They're going to go in that spanky new stadium there at Abilene Christian and send those folks home sad.
Yeah, send them home sad.
Who's this Bears team? You're about to find out.
What did you make of this whole George Kliavkoff tried blocking UCLA's move to the Big 12? Then in October, ESPN offered the Pac-12 $30 million per school per year. But a Pac-12 president, quote, worked with a professor on his campus, end quote. So we know it's a him. Who estimated the school's market value was $50 million per school. So Pac-12 based their ask on the professor's advice. They asked ESPN for $50 million per school per year instead. ESPN said, no. It's like Pawn Stars. George Kliavkoff is the Pac-12 is like, hey, I got this really cool thing here, and here's what I think it's worth. And ESPN's like, no, man, I got a guy. I got a guy that I can ask. He says that it's worth 30. And they're like, nah, you know what? Actually, it's the reverse of that, isn't it? It's the reverse. Nah, I'm just going to hang on to it. ESPN would be the, I'm just going to hang on to it instead. We're too far apart. I'm just going to hang on to it and enjoy it. That's what ESPN said. We'll give you $30 million. $30 million. They're getting $20 million from the reported deal is Apple TV is $20 million. You could have got $30 million, plus you're on an actual human TV station where humans watch, not 12-year-olds that are just watching the latest whatever it is. I don't know what is on Apple TV other than Ted Lasso. I have zero idea. But that's basically a professor of finance or something tells a Pac-12 president, oh, no, they're worth way more than that. No, no, 30, don't take that. That's awful. Go out, counteroffer with 50. Really? I mean, that's a $20 million per school per year increase. I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollar increase that we're going to ask for. Because, Angel, if you're going, I mean, what do you think they were going to sign? It's a five-year deal?
I was doing some research on the Pac-12 presidents. The report said it was a he.
Mm-hmm.
That eliminates Washington, Oregon State, and California. All their presidents are female.
Bam, bam. Who? Washington? Who?
Washington, Oregon State, California.
Wow.
That's Anna Marie Kaus, Jayathi Murthy, and Carol Christ.
We're getting, whoa, that's her last name?
Yes. Or Christ.
I'm sure people have made that mistake before.
But there's three of the nine Pac-12 presidents are women.
But, Angel, if you put this in context, ESPN said they pay him 30 a year. There were 12. Was that when? Was that before when
that
we
was
knew?
After you. USC
so 10 teams.
Were leaving.
So 10 teams we knew of, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been $300 million a year that would go to the schools.
Yep.
They were asking for $50 million per team, per school, for the 10 teams. So $500. You come back with a $2 million. And then, of course, the Pac-12 is going to try to get back to 12. So they're going to try to get two teams. Mm-hmm. But you come back with a $2 million a year counter. That's ridiculous.
You're asking for the value of your conference minus your two best draws, but honing off on saying we're going to get two more schools that are going to equal that, so you should just pay us the full price anyway.
Yeah.
This is not how to negotiate.
I mean, you could have come back with 40.
Start at 40.
But you asked for a $2 million increase, what they offered you, plus you're on...
$200 million.
Yeah, $200 million increase. And you could have been on a human TV station. So two great things to keep you relevant. This was last year.
This could have been the Big 12. The Pac-12 and Big 12 switched spots when they declined this $50 million offer.
Pac-12 would be in existence. Well, it'd be 10 teams. CU would have stayed, right?
Yep. They would have started getting teams from the Big 12.
Oregon probably would have stayed.
Yep.
It's $30 million. Like, that's the deal right now that they're doing with the Big 12, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Isn't it 30?
That's the same. They offered them the exact same deal.
But George Klieff.
They walked in room A with the Pac-12, gave them a deal, and said, nope. They walked right over to room B with the Big 12 and said, here you go.
Who the hell does the Pac-12 think they are? I mean, I get it. They're supposed to be smart people over in some of these schools. But you're going to listen to a guy, a finance professor? To come down and say, oh, no, 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 no. That rinky-dink four-lettered network that nobody's heard of is offering you 30? No, your schools are worth 50 apiece. We can do better than that.
I think they just meant school.
Yeah.
Hey, how much is our school worth? Probably $50 million.
And then they told George that, and he goes, well, wait, that's probably athletic, true for all of it.
You wanted the athletic department's value? Oh, it's probably around 20.
20. 20 is about right for the Pac-12, it seems like. 25?
Last I checked, Stanford's a pretty prestigious school. Their campus is really nice, so I'm sure most of that money goes somewhere.
What a stupid decision, man.
How does he still have a job, like, right now?
I think he'll be done, but that's just insanity to me. That a guy can come in and say, we heard from a professor, Professor Longbottom, that our schools are worth 50, so we would like to do that. 50, please, ESPN. ESPN's like, that's your
all
counter?
Right, I'll give you $50. Leave me alone.
That's your counter offer? We're too far apart, Pac-12.
Like, that's not even renegotiable.
That's in the discussion.
ESPN can't even come back to the table for that.
If you go to buy a car today and you said, you know, guy's asking for $30,000 and you said, hey, I'll give you five. Have a good day, man. We're way too far apart. But if you know, $30,000 and you go, can I get you down to 20? Can I get you to 20?
Even like 45 would have been reasonable.
Well, why not counter with 45? Or, you should have countered with 40.
40, I'd say 40, 45 on the high end.
They thought pretty highly of themselves. The Pac-12 as a conference
for
thought
what?
Pretty highly
made
of
the
themselves.
Playoff twice since it started.
Don't know, man. But they've ruined the conference with this decision making.
The Pac-12 missing the playoffs has been its own fault because they just eat each other in the regular season, and then you don't end up with a one-loss champ that maybe could get in. So they did it to themselves, and then also with a crappy owner or leader, whoever this Klieff guy is, you messed up, and now this entire conference is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're blaming the other conferences for poaching the teams. It's like, put the blame on your commissioner, what he did.
Ship's on fire, and they were just getting all the survivors they could.
And we knew the Pac-12 was on shaky ground last year. Why not take ESPN's deal and run? They were on shaky. This time last year, we were saying,
who did they think was going to come back and offer them? Who would offer them that much money? What TV network has that much money to offer?
That's the best one to do it, right? But then they settle for Apple TV, and we have four teams.
Is that like settled?
I don't think so.
Okay, so
I think Apple TV probably backed out of it, didn't they?
I don't know if you could legally go through it if it was.
Yeah.
One day it's 10 teams, the next day it's 4 teams.
They're just probably waiting and seeing. Hey, let us know what you're going to do.
I don't think Apple would go, we're not going to, you know, prorate this contract for just 4 teams instead of 10. So now these 4 teams are going to get $60 million or something.
It's wild, man. Just this crime. All right, we got bottom of the hour. We got a break. Oh, my goodness. All right, 44 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
47 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. There it is. Sorry, Angel. Sorry. Those gremlins were my fault.
That was my fault.
Don't forget, coming up at 5 o'clock, we've got Rams Weekly with myself and Kevin Lytle. Susan and Cheryl love them, some Kevin Lytle. Full hour blast of all things Colorado State Rams football talk, in this case. So, looking forward to that. Cannot wait. And we're going to have Jack Howell on the program, the stud defensive back for Colorado State. Certainly one of those guys that has that, you know, has that dog in him. Christmas, 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 Angel. The Nuggets will take on the Golden State Warriors on Christmas Day at 12:30 Mountain Time p.m.?
Yes.
That's like right in the middle of Christmas.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough. That's difficult. 12:30? Come on, give me like a 7:30. The champs need 6:30 or 7:30. Not right in the middle of the day. We're going to be watching a Christmas Story or whatever that one is by the 400th time. You know, Christmas Vacation. I'll need to be watching that still. Eh, whatever. 49 minutes after the hour. What did we learn? Coming up next.
You want high school football? You've come to the right place. High school football on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what?
Well, what we recently just learned, the Denver Nuggets schedule just came out. I just tweeted that out, thanks to our boy Chris Dempsey. And Angel, it looks like a lot of nationally televised games there, TNT and ESPN. So if you don't have altitude, at least you're going to get a good chunk of basketball games this year to watch of the Denver Nuggets.
Well, who wouldn't want to watch the world champions with Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and MPJ?
Yeah.
Friends?
Preseason, October 10th.
Oof.
About a little less than 2 months away from the preseason starting up. What'd you learn today, Angel?
I learned that if you're playing the CU Buffs, may serve you well to tick them off a little bit.
Yeah, because they're
get an extra flag for yourself.
They're going to go brawling after that.
Yeah. One fight, we all fight.
He doesn't care about culture. Doesn't care about if they like each other. Yet, if your guy's getting in a fight, I want you over there fighting too. Helping him out. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm not sitting here saying that this is a terrible message.
Just update the message when the season starts.
It's just an interesting one. You don't hear coaches say they don't care about culture very often. You know? But it's a real thing. It's real in college. It's real in pros. But, yeah, that was certainly an interesting thing for primetime to say.
What did you learn from your time at CSU yesterday?
Let's see. Let me think about that. That maybe they're going to run the ball. They're going to design to run the ball a little bit more than we thought. CSU's got a new volleyball coach replacing their legend. That's interesting. I was there at press conference. Dallin Holker, I think, is going to be pretty big deal. And I like this defense again for CSU. And Torrey Horton is an NFL player. He will be an NFL player.
How's the O-line looking?
I don't know. I mean, the scrimmage is the scrimmage. And was there a lot of pressure getting to Clay? Not necessarily in the scrimmage, but then the number twos played a lot of it. So I don't know if they looked good or not.
Right.
From what we saw. A lot of shotgun and... You know, shotgun lined up with the running back to the left or right. I mean, a lot of that. But they're going to run. They're just going to run probably a lot out of the shotgun. So that's kind of what I learned. I think Dallin Holker is going to be a big deal. Torrey Horton's an NFL talent. I think Jack Howell's an NFL talent. We're going to talk to Jack Howell on Rams Weekly coming up in about 3 hours. So I'm looking forward to that. Kevin Lytle will join me. So you don't want to miss that all things Colorado State talk there with my guy, Kevin Lytle. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on one more preseason football Friday for us, The real Football Friday, does it start next week? Are we going to do that? Yeah? Okay. That's what it does. All right, that'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.